news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
One of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices is also our guest on Tuesdays in the 8 o'clock hour. Columnist Quinn Hillier with the Washington Examiner, and so you can find his stuff at quinnhillier.com. Good morning, Quinn. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you, yes, and Happy New Year to all your listening audience.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Quinn. We appreciate it, and I'm sure they do as well. We've gotten a lot of texts, by the way. I don't want to leave you hanging. A lot of texts on jerk moves that I think we can all agree on. Some of these are great, so we'll get to these in the second half of the hour here. But first, I want to talk to Quinn about quite a few things right here. And with, today is January 4th, so Thursday will be 1 year since January 6th of last year, when the riot at the Capitol, and you know, both sides of the political aisle planning to use that anniversary to make their own political gains, I'm sure. But Quinn, you kind of wanted to hone in on exactly how we do count electoral votes and what may need to be changed about this. Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah. Look, let's set aside who's to blame, who's right, who's wrong, who's criminal, set all aside for the purposes of this discussion. One of the biggest problems is that we were operating under something called the Electoral Count Act, which was written in 1870-something, which was written so badly, so confusingly, that it left things open to interpretation that should not have been open to interpretation. Mm-hmm. They weren't actually loopholes, but unless you read it really carefully, they look like loopholes. And so you have triple negatives, you have sentences that go on for 172 words or something like that, and nobody could make heads or tails of it. So there were all these areas that people could exploit to say, no, this is still an open question, when it wasn't, mm-hmm. in terms of when a state's electoral votes are actually duly certified. So it doesn't matter what you think about the 2020 election. Doesn't matter whose side you're on. Everybody should want the Electoral Count Act reformed, rewritten, so that it is clear, so the deadlines are clear, so the rules are clear, so the language is clear, so that you don't have this confusion in the first time. Because we don't know in the next election or the next close election who might try to exploit it. So, you know, the Trump people tried to exploit it this time. It could be the left. It could be the Democrats trying to exploit it the next time. So Republicans should also want to reform the Electoral Count Act and make it clear. Mm-hmm. And I can go into some details, but the basic idea is you move now, you rewrite it now when you don't know who gets the advantage, mm-hmm. and that way everybody has an incentive to do it right.
So similar to the filibuster, both sides want it changed depending on who's in charge.
Right.
But regarding the electoral votes, so the Democrats, or a large portion of Democrats, would prefer we just went straight popular vote, right? Because then the LAs and the New York cities and the Chicagos become so much more important. The Republicans generally are fans of the electoral count because that makes the Nebraskas and the Iowas and the Alabama votes as important. So why with these two parties split so rapidly against each other, what could they come together to fix?
Well, because this is not about whether or not you have an electoral college. That's in the Constitution. This is the statute, the congressionally created law that determines how procedurally you go about certifying the votes. Hmm. So this isn't about whether to get rid of the Electoral College or not. I say keep the Electoral College. But if you've got the Electoral College, you still have to have procedures that make sense. So, for instance, there's one part of the Electoral Count Act that says, under rules written by the legislature as adjudicated in state courts. But there's another section that says the executive of the state, the chief executive, shall certify it. So is it the state courts or is it the governor? Does the governor have independent authority from the state courts, or is he just a functionary? Is the vice president just a functionary, or does he have independent power? There are all these clauses that seem to contradict each other And so the point is, everybody should want it clear for the next time, so that when you go to count the electoral votes, according to the Constitution, we have an electoral college. You don't change that. But when you go to count them, how do you count them? How do you know whether they're certified correctly or not? And that's something everybody should agree on, because you don't know whose ox is going to get gored next time.
So we're talking to Quinn Hillier about something called the Electoral Count Act. I'll be honest with you, Quinn, until I read your article in the Examiner, I wasn't even aware of it. So why is it so convoluted? Why is it written in such a confusing way?
Okay, well, this was, first of all, they had different standards of writing and legalistic writing in the 1870s. But secondly, they didn't have instant communications. They didn't have all the technology. And so they wanted to build in multiple safeguards, because they had to be sure even of the chain of custody of the actual physical electoral ballots cast by the electors in each state. And they had to make sure that those could get transmitted from, say, you know, Waterloo, Iowa, to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all of these complications that came from lack of technology that we don't have today. And so in trying to meet every possible contingency, they put clause after clause that was supposed to be a safeguard for each step of the way.
They no longer apply.
That no longer apply or are needed. And meanwhile, they didn't do it very well in the first place, and that created confusion. So, for instance, it says the vice president shall count the votes. And the Trump people said, well, because he's not just counting the votes, but also, according to the Electoral Count Act, he is affirming that they are correct, then that somehow gives him discretion to not affirm.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's something everybody saw. Everybody knows there was a dispute about whether Vice President Mike Pence had any independent authority.
Right.
Well, why not make it so that you either answer it yes or no? Does he have independent authority? Does he not have independent authority? Don't leave it ambiguous. That's something everybody should agree on, is make it clear one way or the other.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And also remembering that although that does, the 2020 election gets all of the air in the room, remember back in 2016 there were Democrats who kind of wanted something similar to happen with the Electoral College and decertifying Trump's results from that one. So you're right. Both sides like to use those loopholes kind of on their own.
Definitely. And let me jump in here. People don't realize it, but it was the Electoral Count Act that decided the 2000 election between Bush and Gore, because it created something called a safe harbor date, at which time, if the states had certified an electoral slate by that date, then they could not be challenged. And that is what the Supreme Court decision in Bush v. Gore turned on, is whether or not that safe harbor date had to be enforced. Well, that, again, was the Electoral Count Act that governed that. And again, obviously, we saw in 2000 that created confusion on that end of it, just like we had confusion on about five different parts of it in 2020.
In a similar vein, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, yesterday saying that he wants to force a vote in the Senate to possibly do away with the 60-vote filibuster rule. Now, I have audio, which I can play later, of Schumer back in 2005 saying that eliminating the filibuster would be a, quote, doomsday for democracy. It seems that Manchin and Sinema are both pretty set in their ways that they do not want filibuster reform. But talk a little bit about this from both the Democrats' angle and the Republicans' angle, why the Democrats now want to do away with the filibuster and why they didn't want to 4 years ago.
Sheer hypocrisy. I mean, they have been firmly on both sides of the fence, which, by the way, the Republicans have not, because Republicans have only said and have always said that the filibuster should not apply to judicial and presidential nominations, but should apply to legislation. That's actually been a consistent position for Republicans for 20 years. The Democrats, on the other hand, have literally gone out and said, almost every leading Democrat have said, if you touch the filibuster, it's a doomsday for democracy. And now they're saying the filibuster is a blight on democracy. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have it both ways unless you're as hypocritical as Chuck Schumer is.
And you expect more arrows headed Manchin's way if he stands in the way this one also?
Yes, and I love seeing the Democrats shoot arrows at him, because eventually it's going to mean he's going to say, go take a long walk on a short pier. He'll say it less nicely than that, and he'll start caucusing with Republicans. And then Republicans will be committee chairman, not Democrats. Republicans will decide what gets to the Senate floor, not Democrats. And the Democrats will have deservedly shot themselves in the foot.
Quick, in 30 seconds, what do you see in the midterms? Is this going to be a complete disaster for Democrats?
Well, as of right now, that's what it looks like. But you've got to remember, lots can happen in a year. And if Donald Trump tries to make the election about himself, it could break in either way. If Donald Trump stays in the background, Republicans definitely win in 2022. And then Trump is actually better set up for 2024. So it's in his benefit to stay in the background for another year.
I'm going to talk to Quinn a little bit more about a number of things, including a coaching legend. We'll get around to that before we're done with him.
Yeah, and also America on the international front, dealing with China, Russia, and Iran. Quinn has some ideas on that as well.
Yeah. Are we dealing at all? I guess one of our questions for Quinn. It's 818 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Turning up your voice later on this hour at 251-343-0106. Two of your all-time favorites, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, we let more into the tent as well. Quinn Hillier is with QuinnHillier.com. He's also with the Washington Examiner. There's a couple of really good articles you want to check out. He's got online right now. Quinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. So, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. And doing just a couple minutes, I want to talk a bit about John Madden. But first, let's keep the politics flowing here. And internationally, obviously, China and Russia seem to be the two big opponents of American freedom. And I had a story this morning. The third leading Democratic paper for Hong Kong, the city of Hong Kong, has now shut down. The top three papers in Hong Kong have shut down. They say it's because their newly elected leaders aren't in close ties with the China Communist Party. And while all of this talk about Taiwan and the Ukraine, as far as Russia goes, Quinn, we've kind of just let Hong Kong slip back into full grasp of the Communist Party without anyone saying much about it.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Taiwan. What are you looking at here as we face, you know, a new year? Maybe the next 10 years of China, Russia, and the U.S., how do we handle this thing?
Well, look, this is why we've got to get serious domestically and stop all these utopian programs. Right now, we face the most dangerous international situation since the fall of the Soviet Union, because we have three ascendant powers, China, Russia, and Iran, which is getting ever closer to nuclear weapons. All of them are aggressive. All of them are bent on doing evil, so much so that non-state terrorism, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, which is still serious, but now it's only the fourth most dangerous threat. Now, if you had said 4 years ago that would be the fourth most dangerous threat, you'd say, you know, you're crazy. And it's not that threat has gone down a lot. It's gone down a little. It's that the other three have gotten that much worse. And we need to be prepared. I'm not saying, you know, rush to war. The best way to deter war is to have a strong posture in the first place. But we cannot afford to be prepared to focus our attention on these threats if we are pushing unbelievably expensive utopian projects at home when we already have the highest debt ratio in the history of the United States. And we can't be pushing unbelievably divisive policies in a 50-50 Senate, in a halfway divided House, in a halfway divided country, when you might need to unify the country. We should be looking for areas of consensus, areas that you know, you might not agree on 100%, but everybody can more or less go along with, and start pulling people together, because that's the only way, if something bad happens internationally, that's the only way we'll be able to A, unify, and B, afford it.
And you know that China, Russia, Iran, they're all helping lead our divisiveness here in America by using the internet. Am I wrong to think, though, that so many of our leaders would be more willing to hop in bed with China than to uphold American ideals. That just kind of feels like the way these politicians have been handling it.
Yeah, politicians and business leaders.
Yeah.
Well, certainly. So the businesses, a lot of the major corporations are very complicit in this. And actually, my colleague at The Examiner, young colleague Zach Faria, writes about that all the time. All these, all the ways that the big international corporations have totally sold out to China. And they'll come down hard, falsely, by the way, on a vote, on basically a minor voting bill in Georgia, and they'll boycott Georgia. But then when the Chinese are doing genocide on the Uyghur population, they look the other way, and they even use the product made by Uyghur slave labor. I mean, it's total hypocrisy. Everybody needs to start focusing on what's good for America vis-a-vis the international adversaries rather than all this divisive stuff at home.
A guy that was good for America was John Madden. We lost John Madden, but boy, a lot of praise getting to John Madden right before he passed away with a great special. But what do you remember about the coach?
Oh, my goodness. I wrote a column. Please go read my column on John Madden and about what the Raiders were like to watch in those days. They might have been the most entertaining football team for 10 years that anybody's ever seen. Like them or hate them, they were unbelievably entertaining, and he was their maestro. And it was like it was sort of intuitive because sometimes he didn't make sense and he knew he wasn't making sense. But in one of the famous games at halftime, they were behind, and he said, well, I had heard this thing somewhere, and I didn't even know what it meant, but I said it. He said, the horse might be blind, but go load up the wagon. And he said, I didn't know what it meant, but it got the guys fired up, and they went out and won the second half.
Yeah,
that's good. one of his really good quotes from that special, you know, Bill Belichick never smiles about anything.
Yeah.
And they replayed a quote from John Madden, I think talking about Bill Belichick, where he basically said, you know, these football coaches are glorified PE teachers. He said, you start out learning to teach, and you start out maybe in teaching a PE class, work your way up, you're coaching high school or junior high, and then college, and then the NFL. So anytime we think any of these coaches mean more than we're giving them, than we should give them credence for, John Madden was always there to say, listen, here's teachers.
Here's who we are, right.
It's and I think that's what a lot of people appreciated about Madden. He was one of the first to tell you what it's like from that point of view, from someone who played the game and coached it.
And I do think we should emphasize the local angle, of course, Ken Stabler, who is very well known down here in Mobile and Baldwin County, and he was one of these outsized personalities, loved to go party, you know, was not quite a reprobate, but, you know, was a wild man off the field, but John Madden said, you show up on time, you be prepared, I don't care what the heck you do, you know, as long as you're not out breaking major laws, I don't care what you do, go have fun, but come and perform on the football field. And for somebody like Ken Stabler, and for somebody, you know, for a lot of those outsized personalities, that's what they needed.
And, perfect coach.
And it wouldn't have worked with any other coach, probably, but John Madden.
QuinnHilliard.com. You can find all his articles right there. You can also get his books on Amazon if you like. Quinn, thanks for your time again.
Thank you all, and again, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, sir. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:30.
Thank you, Kane. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Phone lines are open, 251-343-0106. The segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew doing fantastic work on both sides of the bay. Such fantastic work, as a matter of fact. I'm holding dozens and dozens of positive reviews of the company. Emily said they were able to come the same day I called. They were on time, and the two guys were so nice and courteous. I was very pleased with everything they did. Patricia said they went above and beyond just removing the junk. And Cheryl said they responded quickly to my request for help. I needed an old shed removed. We met to appraise my problem and made a plan to demolish and remove the shed. A few days later, they called to confirm the date. And when I got home, the shed was gone. They even sent me a picture after they were done clean, all debris gone, so nice, couldn't ask for better. Those are some of the reviews for 1-800-GUY-JUNK. Local reviews, because they're a local company. Their pricing is up front. What they quote you is what you'll pay. Plus, the pickup is ultra convenient. You find a time that works for them and works for you, and they'll be there, no questions asked. Plus, they dispose of the junk responsibly. So set up your appointment today. 1-800-GUY-JUNK is the number, and you can find them online, 1-800-GUY-JUNK.com.
Good time of year, too, to get those guys over to your place. You know, it's after the holidays and things have kind of calmed down a little bit. And now maybe you can actually notice what you're looking at out there in the backyard, or yeah. Slow down enough to say, my goodness, we've got to do something about this or that.
Yeah.
And spring on the way, you know, why not? It was spring cleaning before the spring gets here. And 1-800-GUY-JUNK, great guys. They've worked for me, too. So they'll do you a great job, I guarantee it.
No doubt about that. So earlier we were talking about this poll of 10 universally agreed upon a-hole moves.
Yeah,
like, we'll call them jerk moves.
Yeah, you call them jerk moves, but I like the original the original classification of the a-hole move.
Listen, that was before 8. There may have still been children in vehicles.
I don't
want them to hear the bad language coming out of my mouth.
So the old job, you know, on country radio, we would never use a-hole. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed on this station, You can push it a little bit further.
I guess.
So I didn't know, but now you're telling me there are restrictions within certain times of the day. Okay.
Well, things change.
Okay.
We're trying to stay on top of it.
It's your call.
So the number one thing here, they say, which I think is a bigger issue in bigger cities. I haven't really ever had this issue. Blocking someone else's driveway.
Yeah, that'd be a city move right there.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But around here we drive trucks, and if there's a way out, it doesn't have to be the driveway. You can leave, you know, through the front yard,
yeah.
However you need to. I don't agree with that being number one. Number two here, they say eating food that isn't yours, even marked with someone else's name.
So that's like at the workplace.
That is an entirely new brand of bold. Mm-hmm. For someone to have their name written on their food and then for you to go eat it anyway, that's something else.
That happened at a television station maybe 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit longer ago. Where a news anchor,
okay,
this circulated around,
okay,
he was really PO'd,
mm-hmm.
because somebody had eaten his. It was a
salad, I'm sure.
No, it was like some sort of a dinner that it helps you lose weight, not a Nutrisystem, but something like that, something Delight, or I don't know what. Anyway. The email seeped out of the station, so we all got a chance to read about how mad this guy was,
right,
about people eating his food that kept him slim.
That's too great.
It was at the time, it was great.
Because, you know, that's awfully embarrassing to be found whining about that.
He let it be known. But you're right, but it is an a-hole move.
It is. Here's one that I think should be number one. Passing someone on the road only to then go slower than they were going. I mean, you take any trip that's longer than 15 minutes, you're going to get passed by someone who then decides, you know, they always like to use you as a regulator, mm-hmm. when they're behind you. There's these people out there who pay no attention to their speedometer, no attention to the posted speed limits. They are just going to go as fast as the car ahead of them. Well, once they pass that car that's ahead of them, they have no one else to gauge their speed by, so they end up slowing down to 55 and a 65.
You're giving them a little too much credit, like they're thinking it through. When I see somebody, for instance, on the Bayway, and they're in the left lane, okay, and they're going slower than people are passing them on the right, hey, dude, come on.
Get it together.
And then I'll notice, like, you know, when you go around somebody like that, you tend to take a look inside, like, you know,
yes,
what is this person? Who is it? And oftentimes it'll be somebody that's 50, 60 years old, which to me isn't really old, but it does. So
they're your contemporaries.
Yeah, my contemporaries. But it's like, I would like to have a quick conversation with them. Like, if you could just have a conversation with we put it together electronically where you can talk to the guy in the next lane, okay?
Yeah.
And you can say to him something like, look, if you're 60, that means you've been driving slow in the left lane for 45 years.
Yeah.
Why did it not occur to you at some point that that's the wrong thing to do?
And I think at a certain age, the reason that someone might not leave that left lane is because of fear. Like, that's their lane. They're not going to move because they don't want to get ran into. But then you have this other class of people who are only concerned about themselves, and they think that the world literally revolves around them. So if they're in the fast lane, they're just in the fast lane, and everyone else is going to have to deal with it.
Wow.
Those are the people I hate.
Yeah.
I can't stand.
Yeah, I just don't understand it.
A lot on the text line, BJ says, the people that spoil movie endings. I think we can all agree that's a pretty big jerk move.
That's an a-hole move, but when was the last time it happened to you?
That's a great. And what's the statute of limitations, right? If someone hasn't seen a movie.
Jaws.
If someone hasn't seen Jaws.
The shark eats the guy.
Is it my fault for ruining Jaws?
Yeah, no. Not Jaws.
Daniel says tailgating is a jerk move. Yes. That's why I always give those tailgaters a little love tap when I'm driving ahead of them, just to make sure they're paying attention.
Wait a second now. Tailgating, if you're tailgating the guy that's slow in the left lane.
Then who's the jerk?
You got it's like, yeah. I won't say that, but it's almost like an a-hole off.
Yeah, two jerks don't make a right.
Right.
Jay says, one jerk move is to move from New York or California to Alabama. And I've seen a lot of these people complaining online. One guy in particular was talking about leaving San Francisco because the quality of life there has dropped so quickly, and also you have real estate prices and taxes. Right. And he said he's moving to Florida. He said, I couldn't disagree with Florida's politics any more than I do, and hopefully they'll change. But we're moving to Florida because I can't stand San Francisco anymore. And then everyone from Florida went, well, don't come. If you don't like our politics, but you're moving to get away from one of these, you know, liberal stronghold cities where they've shut everything down, then we don't want you here either, because you're going to turn this state more like the state that you just left, the city you just left.
And I'll just tell you, Justin, it's when you move somewhere or when – don't complain about where you're now at.
Mm-hmm.
Adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do that when I was 19 years old. But the point is, when you decide, okay, I'm going to – like I went from the Northeast to the Southeast.
Right.
Pretty drastic cultural change, right? I just found out what I liked about the South, which is awesome, and which I, you know, found plenty of things to like about the South. I would see people move from the North, come down, and right away start their series of complaints about the way we used to do it up in Boston. That's when you say, well, the interstate's moving both ways, buddy.
Yeah, why don't you go back?
Exactly.
There's a lot of people, I'm sure, moving into Baldwin County that feel the same way.
Yes.
Brian says, with today's GPS technology, there's no reason to hold up traffic when you don't know where you're going. Use Google Maps should solve that problem. Yeah, lots of people that hang up traffic, especially downtown, you'll see.
Yeah, but the Wave app, one time I was trying to find a doctor's office, and it took me into a car wash. those things are a little bit flawed.
You still got a checkup there, though, which, you know, maybe I wouldn't have done
that. Yeah, my car got a checkup.
Right? Your car did. Brandon said, it may sound petty and old-fashioned, but I hate jerks who don't signal. How hard is it to stick your finger out and flick it up or down? Apparently, Brandon, we have a lot of people with injured fingers around here.
Let's go, Brandon. Constantly.
Chris says, now this is Southern right here. I guess they do have boats in other parts of the country. But Chris says, someone backing their boat down the ramp at the boat launch, only to then stop and load their ice chest, the kids' life jackets, etc. He said, have some boat ramp etiquette, people. Maybe there needs to be a boat ramp etiquette class taught around here.
There's a lot of tension at the boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Sean could tell us more about that. But you got people who do it wrong, and it ticks everybody off.
Especially the first day of snapper season, apparently, ripe for fights at boat launches all across. Aaron says, consistently not being at work on time when others need the service you provide. And how about this one from Vince? He said it's a jerk move to send a text to the Sullivan text line, I guess that'd be our text line, and not leaving a name, giving the hosts no option but to call them unnamed texter. They need to text on air. Hey, I didn't say it. That was Vince that said that.
You know, it's funny because at first you didn't know that you didn't see his signature at the bottom, and you said, I said, who sent that? And you said, unnamed texter. You want to go to the phones here real quick?
Yeah, let's run the phone lines.
All right, let's do this. Dan and Dalton, and we've got John on the line. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, man.
Doing all right.
Yeah, that point y'all were making about, it's not what I wanted to say, but okay. I'm going to say it real quick.
Sure.
But that was on the Larson show early. I go to work at 2 o'clock, and that was exactly a topic that they were talking about this morning. The northern people moving to these southern states, and then they want to try to bring what they're moving out of to the southern states. Right. It just don't make sense. It's like, why just stay where you're at, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it'd be like vacationing in Cuba and going like, hey, how about freedom? Doesn't that sound nice? Why don't we bring a little freedom here, Cuba? Yeah.
Exactly. And what I was going to get to the electric cars was, what's going to happen when these folks get stranded like they did yesterday in Virginia for 2 or 3 hours at a time? And the electric vehicle starts to run down because they just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I mean, I understand that the car can run out of gas, too, but you're less likely to run out of electric power before you are the gas. So I don't know. I'm just...
You know, you would say, okay, conserve your electricity, but if you're stuck like that, just turn off the power. That'd be the same with a gas-powered car, too.
Turn off the heat?
Well, that's the thing.
Turn off the heat and conserve power. How's that?
Freeze to death.
Freeze to death. You know, you're trying to conserve the electricity, and they find your frozen body in your Impala.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
That's right. Yeah, due to the electric car.
Everyone.
Y'all be safe. Have a great 2020. Love listening to y'all, and roll tide. Y'all know what's going to happen Monday night.
Thank you, John.
Good.
Yeah. Bye, buddy.
He's had a great 2020, by the way.
Yeah.
We're a couple years past that.
Yeah. Have a great 2020. Well, it already happened, and it wasn't great. 847 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton.
More of these texts. I'm seeing some really good ones come in.
Okay.
Jerk moves. What's at the top of your list? We'd love to hear it.
Also, we'll let you know who Jeff's got coming up on his show, which begins at 9 o'clock or a little bit thereafter on FM Talk 106.5.
852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming to the phones and text in just a minute. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by the experienced personal injury lawyers of Tobias McCormick and Comer. At TMC, they serve Mobile and the surrounding areas with compassion. They also have a storied track record of success for making things right for their clients. At TMC, they work each client's case personally from start to finish, which means they don't hand your case over to another lawyer that you don't know at some other law firm. At Tobias McCormick & Comer, they've handled hundreds of personal injury cases and a combined 70 years of experience and have recovered over $45 million for their clients. Let them put their expertise to work for you. Call for a free consultation today, 251-432-5001, or visit them online, tmclawyers.com.
What's Jeff Poor got coming up here today? Media Research Center's Michael Morris will be on around 9:30. Also, Alabama political reporter's Josh Moon is up in the 10 o'clock hour, and State Rep Steve Klaus among the guests in the 11 o'clock hour with Jeff Poor beginning a little after 9 o'clock today on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple more of these universally agreed upon a-hole moves, making it impossibly hard to cancel subscriptions. I've been through that ringer sometimes where you need to call and they push you off to someone else and someone else. That's never fun.
Yeah, I used to get subscriptions as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the Chinese thing where you put your fingers in.
The finger trap.
Can't get them out.
Yeah.
But the finger trap was Sports Illustrated.
Ah.
And just could not get, like, I don't want to receive it anymore.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't have it.
You don't like sports.
They wanted my $54 annually.
Yeah. Taking up two or more parking spaces by parking outside the lines.
Yeah, that's I do it all the time here.
Unintentionally,
because it's the middle of the night and I'm lazy.
Yeah, you're not a jerk.
I have bad eyesight.
Just ignorant.
Yeah.
Also,
I'll agree with that.
Flipping through the pictures on someone else's phone when they wanted to just show you one. Well, it takes the right phone for you to only do that once.
I saw somebody do that one time backstage on the fireman's phone, Shelby's husband, and guess who it was pulling that jerk move?
Who?
Garth Brooks.
No.
Yep. And Trish Yearwood said, don't go through his pictures.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
Garth Brooks.
It happened.
A picture snooper.
He is.
Let's go to the phone lines. I think we have John in Mobile. Hey, John.
I get no joy from telling that story, by the way.
Just something you talked about earlier, the way Yankees moved down here and then complained about
everything.
You know, it needs to be more like home.
Yeah.
That just proves to me, that liberalism is a mental disorder. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is Schumer getting rid of the
filibuster.
Yep. And this is part of the move to federalize all elections. And one of the things they're going to try to do is to get rid of voter ID.
Right.
Because they claim it's racist. Because the Democrats know that in the midterms, they're in real trouble. And the only way that they can win this next election is to steal it. You know, kind of like they did in 2020. I don't really care what. I disagree with Quinn.
Right.
But anyway, that's what's coming. So be on the lookout for it. We got to fight it everywhere we can.
You're right, John. That's the entire intent behind this latest move to abolish the filibuster. It's all about this election reform legislation that they want to push through, and Manchin and Sinema already said they're not having it. So it's also for the Democrats. It's a move, I think, going into the midterms, going into this election year, for them to at least show their voters that they're quote-unquote trying.
Yeah.
I don't think they have much of a hope, but you're exactly right. They want to federalize the elections, have them all under standard rules, and they want to make it easier to vote by mail and absentee voting, all of that. You're exactly right. And
well, coronavirus, again, look the way it changed the elections,
right.
Changed the procedures, and we had people standing in line in the state of Alabama on Saturday mornings like it was some – they're getting tickets to a concert.
Yeah, yeah, and it, just like, you know, if the Omicron variant had been worse, as bad as the Delta variant, if many more people were dying because of the Omicron variant, I have no doubt in my mind that there would have been a concerted effort to do these upcoming elections the exact same way as mm-hmm. the 2020, but you're seeing – with these cases that most of them are minimal and don't require hospitalizations, so that excuse isn't there. But I don't think it's too outstanding to say that maybe another variant would come up that they're worried about just in time for the midterm
elections.
Well,
I say another variant doesn't come up. Do I, from you publicly on our show, do I get credited somehow as being part of the solution?
I think so.
Because there was the epidemiologist who said in 2 months...
that we'll be living normal lives.
Don't quote me on this, y'all, please. But in Sweden, where was the epidemiologist?
Yeah, it was Norway, I think.
Norway.
Yeah. They're saying that this might be this variant may be what is needed to have herd immunity for everyone, mm-hmm. if it's spreading as quickly as it appears it is. Some more of these jerk moves to get to.
Yeah.
Joe said, I thought people had started naming their food at work. I ate a sandwich named Matt yesterday. King of All Ending Texters hates when folks in a sports car think you're racing them in your work van.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
I pull up in the mobile command unit, and they think I'm ready to race for pink slips or something.
But, you know,
0 to 60 on this bad boy.
The guy working for Buddy's plumbing. You know, and so you really think I want to? Could you see Buddy's plumbing? You see this insignia on the side of this?
Yeah,
I'm looking to get to 60 miles an hour.
That's a different weight class. Now, two plumbing trucks side by side.
That could be.
Then you've got a race.
Yeah, or an electrician.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations is a big deal. That's what Dan says regarding, ruining movie endings.
Yeah.
I think we need to agree upon that. Is it 5 years? 10 years? Like, I still haven't seen the new Sopranos movie. I'd say it's a little too early to ruin that for a lot of folks.
I would say so, yeah.
But, like, you know, Jaws, like you said earlier.
Well, how about Sopranos?
The
television series.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Could you ruin that for somebody if they somehow missed it the first part of this decade?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
It was long enough ago.
All right. We are out of here. Jeff Poore's on the way. Dan and Dalton back with you tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m. here, FM Talk 106.5.